earlier this morning out at Washington Park Family Center, a wide range of folks from the community came together with Mayor Greg Ballard to announce initiatives as a follow-up from his State of the City speech, initiatives of what can we do as a community to reduce the violence. We've got some of the folks that were at that press conference that are going to be involved in this initiative. They borrowed the name from our company, Your Life Matters, the announcements you've been hearing for the past several weeks on these radio stations. But since the mayor couldn't make it here for a first hour of the program, and since but when you get home tonight and watch your early and late local news, you'll only see 20 to 30 seconds of what the mayor said and what this community initiative is going to be, we start out our discussion on what, you know, the steps are going to be, what you may think of them, get reaction to people that are going to be involved in it. Here is what Mayor Greg Ballard said at the news conference this morning, outlining the steps in what he and others are calling, you know, Your Life Matters.
And there is not a single cause to this violence, and there won't be a single solution. But today I want to outline several steps that the community has taken or is taking to create a safer and a healthier and a more hopeful environment for these young men. First, I am pledging $75,000 annually to 211 to expand its capacity to help. 211 can now provide information to parents who need help and guidance with their children. Parents are in the best position to stop this violence before it happens. There's a list here of five organizations. Right here, offering parenting assistance in Indianapolis. Any parent who's having trouble with their son or daughter needs to call 211 to get help. And when you call 211, let the operator know you are in need of family mentoring or counseling services regarding your child. Their operators have years of experience with crisis intervention over the phone. They can refer you to targeted services that will fit your family's needs. And these experienced professionals can help you and your child get through a difficult time. And beginning the first week of April, 211 will have trained community mentors available to contact families that have made these requests. Additionally, many men and women have volunteered to provide follow-up communication with families who would like that type of contact. I cannot stress enough the need for parents to join us in this effort. If your child has expensive new sneakers or a flat-screen TV you know they can't afford and you don't know where they got it, you need to ask the questions. If you need a strong male voice to help, call 211 to get connected to someone who is trained to defuse these situations. There are people who care about you and your child. That call could determine whether you attend your child's graduation, a sentence hearing, or their funeral. Second, in addition to helping parents, it is also important to provide mentors and role models for our youth. There are a multitude of groups out there in Indianapolis that focus on mentoring. It is important to provide young people who may be susceptible to violence more mentors and more role models. Again, there is help out there. There is a list of nearly 60 organizations that focus on mentoring. And there are many other groups out there. Third, I know unemployment is very high among young people, especially young people of color. There are programs out there to help you get training and a job. The city is working with Pastors Jackson and Covington to find additional support for the summer jobs program like Clean for Green. They started this program as a positive opportunity for young people to make money over the summer. And when they started their program 2 years ago, they served 167 kids. Last year, they served 342. But we can do better. We don't want this program to die. I want this program to stay alive and even want to expand it to other parts of the city if possible. We are looking to engage partner churches and community centers on the north, south, and west side of the city. This program will have positive outcomes for the entire community. The program engages youth in positive activities and pairs them with mentors who can provide critical life skills. The participants earn their own cash which prevents them from seeking out negative ways to make money. And the money they will make will likely be spent in their own neighborhoods, providing an economic boost to their community. For those interested in making Clean for Green a reality this year, please contact Betty Robinson at the Community Alliance of the Far East Side, or as we know it, CAFE. Her information is listed here on this poster right here on the bottom of it, and is also included in your handouts today. In addition to that particular community effort, our local economic development agency, Employ Indy, has the following four employment programs that are prepared to help Indy's young people gain valuable skills. Jobs for America's Graduates is a program for high school juniors and seniors, which provides guidance in post-secondary education and career opportunities. It is currently offered at 10 area high schools. Youth Build Indy helps people ages 18 to 24 with no high school diploma earn a high school equivalency diploma and credentialed construction training. It places a kid on a path toward a well-paying, high-demand career. YouthWorks Indy helps people ages 18 to 21 with no high school diploma earn an accelerated adult basic education. It provides career tracks to lifelong, self-sufficient employment. Youth Employment Services helps people ages 18 to 24 obtain vouchers for assistance with child care, transportation, training, and education. It removes those barriers to successful employment transitioning. You can see these down here, all these down here. Our Work One offices also have dollars available for training young people and adults. They have programs for people who face significant barriers to getting a job. They have programs for people who dropped out of school or people who need transportation and child care assistance. But if you are serious about getting a job and the training needed to get a job, help is available at the local Work One Center. And these are great resources that can get people on the right track, because we want to spread the word that every life matters and that as a community, we care. In addition to these resources, our business and our sports and our entertainment communities have stepped up to create public service announcements that are playing right now to tell young people that their life matters and that drugs and violence is no way to conduct your life. I am grateful for their support. The final two pieces on our plan focus on those who have already made poor choices or on the fringe of getting caught up in it. For those being released from prison, our Office of Reentry is always working to give these ex-offenders a genuine shot at turning their lives around. The city provides a directory of groups that will help them with everything from getting a job to housing. We assign them mentors before they are released, and they continue to work with the ex-offender for 6 to 18 months after their release. We have moved parole officers into our police district offices to get them closer to the ex-offenders and where they live. And we aren't waiting until they get out to work with them. We are now showing a video on their first day in, trying to get them thinking about the steps they need to take to get ready, to ready themselves for the day that they get out. And for those in danger of choosing a life of crime and violence, we are continuing our support for Prescription for Hope. This program targets at-risk people, mostly young black men between 14 and 20, and those who enter Eskenazi Health with gunshot, stab, and other wounds resulting from violence, and getting them enrolled into programs to help them turn their life around. The results are extraordinary. Nearly 150 young people have been enrolled in Prescription for Hope in the last 3 years. Less than 5% have returned with another violent injury, and only 10% have been arrested. The help is out there for people who want it, but we also know some people will make the wrong choice. For those individuals who choose a life of crime, we are working with judges and state lawmakers to increase the punishment. I am working with the General Assembly to increase sentencing for criminals who use a gun while committing a crime. Our laws should put fear into anyone who chooses to use a gun illegally. Breaking this cycle will take the entire community. We are creating the Your Life Matters Task Force to make sure that we are connecting the silos, that we are collaborating well with everybody, and instilling nationally recognized best practices. I will select two co-chairs for this task force in the coming weeks. This task force is one of the items recommended by Cities United, an effort hailed 2 weeks ago by President Obama as a prime example of bipartisan cooperation between cities seeking to reduce violence. This task force will also include leaders from many community and faith-based organizations. Everyone in Indianapolis should know this entire community is united in helping those people who need it. As you can see, there are tools available to help, and we want people to seek that help. Use these tools that are available to you. That's what we really want. We're here today to say we care. We want you to go in the right direction. And if you go off track, you'll serve your time, but when you come back, we'll once again help you go in the right direction. The resources are there. The tools are there. You see all these people in front of you who care and are trying to get everybody on the right track. Thank you so much for everybody coming out today. Please continue the message today. Thank you.
And that was the words in his entirety of Mayor Greg Ballard laying out to the community what he and others are calling Your Life Matters, some of the ones that have been working on this, as the mayor said, the past several months. Pastor Charles Ellis is here, Tanya Bell from Indiana Black Expo, Pastor James Jackson and Greg Wilson from the city. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
What do you, let me walk around to each of you. What are the positive things in this program? What are the things in this program that excite you? Pastor Ellis?
Well, what excites me is I think, as somebody mentioned, that a lot of things are going on, but we kind of put a handle on things and kind of bring them together to create a synergy. And some of the things that you'd be surprised, either like the elevation of the 211 number, mm-hmm. As the Indianapolis 10-Point Coalition, we get a lot of calls for people asking us to do things that are a little bit beyond our scope. Mm-hmm. And so we welcome it that they will have a place to go. And then just in general, the overall synergy of looking at the issues of dealing with black-on-black crime and the factors that contribute to it.
Tanya Bell.
I think for me was more of the public awareness with respect to all of the services and initiatives that exist already in the city. Even sitting there in the press conference today, I sat right next to a grandmother who said, I didn't know all of these things even existed. And I think that's one of the key components that comes out of this is just create more public awareness around those direct services that are already here in our community.
Greg Wilson.
Thanks, Amos. For me, Amos, it's a community-driven effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the fact that the community's involved, and for me especially, I live in one of those zip codes that people talk about, and I know that we have young men and young women and families who need help and support, and the fact that we are talking about those programs that already exist and making sure people know about them. And the last real piece I want to say, and it's something that we're going to continue. It's nothing we just did today, and it's over with.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Jackson.
Well, the Ballard administration has been working on this effort for about 6 months now, and I'm excited about the fact that there's been follow-through in talking through the issues, what I saw today and what I heard today. There are numerous agencies, as Tanya indicated, that we're not necessarily discovering, but rediscovering. And there was a lot of light shed on those. The program, Clean for Green, which is jobs for youth.
Right. That's out your way.
Yeah. And the youth unemployment is double digit across the nation. And here in Indianapolis, it's double digit. National unemployment rate is 6.9% mm-hmm. for all people. So that's exciting. And then there are the opportunities that are coming up for ex-felons. And the 211, of course, this is an emerging effort. It may be you have to be on four-wheel drive starting out, but I think it's a viable idea.
One of the things the mayor was talking about was augmenting the staff at 211 to help this. Is part of that giving 211 some soul? I'm sure they're operators of color that are currently at 211, but is part of it, particularly Pastor Ellis, is part of it having some folk at 211 that have some sensitivity, not necessarily color sensitivity, but sensitivity that if that mom and that grandmom is calling and says, I need help with Pookie, they can kind of understand some of the code words or some of the inflections in the voice. Is that part of that effort to augment the staff at 211 to assist?
Well, I would imagine, obviously, it's always helpful when you have someone, like you said, that can kind of read between the lines and mm-hmm. understand. But it's also, I think, to increase capacity mm-hmm. because you have a lot of people that are calling up saying, I just don't know what to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and can you, or her. That's yeah. right. That's yeah. right. Or her.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you help me? And so having those people on board that to be able to, like you say, hear what's being said, but also hear what's being said and saying, okay, this is what you can do. Here's some people that can help you. We can get you along to come alongside you and help you, raise, you know, help you with Pookie or whomever.
239-1310 Afternoons with Amos. You may have questions about the initiative that was announced this morning. The code name, the working name, Your Life Matters. 239-1310 239-1310 or send me an email at praiseinda.com or a text message at 37890 keyword Amos 37890 keyword Amos. A number of things were passed out, and one of them deals with counseling services. Are we going to have an issue where mom and grandma or dad or grandpa calls and said, hey, I need some services, I need some help, and then they're referred someplace, but then they hit the barrier of cost? Is that something that we're going to have to work through as a community? In other words, you know, people hear the announcements, they see the thing on the billboard, they see 211, you know, they kind of know, okay, if I need help, I hit 211, I get that. The counselors there will be doing their job. They'll be listening and saying, you know, I think you need to, you know, call over here, call over there. When those people get to that agency, y'all have heard people that call up, and I've never had anybody call and say anything negative or disparaging about the folks at 211. So I think 211 is sort of like the state police. They are well respected. But then what's going to be done to make sure when it gets to those agencies they get referred that there's going to be that same kind of, you know, sensitivity and love, Greg?
Yes, we're going to be meeting with 211 on a regular basis, Amos, to make sure that this process is working. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, there are things that do come up that you didn't expect.
But not just with 211, when they hand it off to that agency, is that agency going to have that sensitivity?
Well, anything to do with the program, we will be doing monthly meetings and follow up on this. And again, what I was saying is there are things that happen and come up,
mm-hmm.
and we want to find out how to fix it. And those people out there who are reaching out for those services can more than feel welcome to call Douglas Harrison at the mayor's office, 327-3601, if there is a problem or issue that we have not actually prepared for.
Right. Tanya?
I just want to supplement that. I think the main thing today, centered around this press conference, was creating, as it relates to those direct services, and really looking at 211 really as a centralized place in order to route folks to those direct services.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the emphasis really was on whether or not, if the direct services has a cost attached to them, that cost is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I would probably have liked to have seen from the press conference today, and the mayor announced the task force, the Your Life Matters task force, that really is going to be a bipartisan task force that's really going to look at those issues, Amos, which is what you're referring to now.
Right.
Here are the services that are out there, but do gaps continue to exist with respect to access to those services? And that's something that obviously that committee is going to have to look into.
On the mentoring organizations, and you got there's a whole what was it? It looks like about 50, you know, on this list that was passed out this morning at the press conference. If there are folks listening right now that are doing grassroots mentoring, or God puts a message on their heart, pastors, to do that, and they're, you know, they don't have a 501c3, they're not fully organized, maybe they haven't gone through the vetting that a youth agency needs to go through. How is this initiative going to reach out to those grassroots folks, make sure, I don't want to use the word certified because that may not be the right word, but, you know, get them involved in that and make sure that what they're doing is safe and productive. Does that make any sense, pastors? Because, you know, there's a bunch of folk out that aren't on this list that are probably touching a kid here or a young adult there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think that 10-Point Coalition, along with a group of other pastors and ministers and clergy,
mm-hmm.
here in the city of Indianapolis, and partnering with groups like the Indiana Black Expo, we are committed to making sure anybody that has a viable idea or project that's going to help solve the problem, that we come alongside them and assist them in showing them how to do it. There's a lot of groups out here doing the work, more is caught than taught. Mm-hmm. In the meetings we've had at the Indiana Black Expo, Tanya's indicated that they want to also make sure that if you're trying to do something, they have professionals who do this stuff all the time, and she's made those individuals available upon request. And I'm sure there's a limit to that. But I'm hoping that we are overwhelmed and overrun. That's not necessarily a negative thing. There's an enormous need out there. But I believe that money follows vision. Mm-hmm. And there's a great vision out here to get this thing done. We've got to keep it on the boil. We've got to keep talking about it. And if there are groups, as you've indicated, who are doing things, and in addition to that, where funding is concerned, there's some creative things happening. Of course, there's the crime prevention money that's at $2 million.
Can we get that? Can we get that?
Can we get it on the street before November?
Can we get can we get another million?
We can get another 1.3 million.
Can we get it up to 3?
Yeah, it should be at $3.3 million.
Okay.
That's another conversation.
Yeah, keep having them conversations. Yeah. If you get it to 3, then kind of stretch, try to get it. I want to get it back to 5, but if we get it to 3, that's a major.
We won't get it back to 5 because of the city ordinance. The county option income tax was lowered just a little bit. Yeah. And as I understand it, it's at like 3. Well, 95% of the 5 million is still available. Okay. But along with that, what's happening is the Indianapolis Public Safety Foundation is gaining traction,
okay. And
there's going to be monies available at that point. And okay. I'm hoping, and I'm going to be holding people accountable, that there's no politics involved in the distribution of those monies. Mm-hmm. So groups who are not going through the normal vetting process, groups that are not considered, you know, the new groups, will be able to look at those groups and say, hey, you're doing something that's going to help save the city money by preventing crime. And we want to make sure you get some funds for that.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Before I take a call, because, you know, the folk that don't like this idea, they want to call in first. 239-1310. Today was a milestone in that this was the first time that the mayor directly talked about Indianapolis's a role in working with Cities United, the effort of the National League of Cities. Greg, can you comment on what the city's role is going to be with Cities United?
Well, Amos, again, it's great, you know, working with Mayor Nutter and others across the country, because we know that this is an issue that has to be started to be worked on now. I think that's what the first thing you have to do is, we had to do, is come together with the community and to talk about the solutions, to find out what was available. Because, again, instead of starting all these new programs, you know, when you first get together, you think about what new can you do. But once we got together with community leaders and others in the community, we found out all these programs, they're already there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's working with those existing programs, building partnerships and relationships, and bringing a task force. And some of those task force members are going to be those from the philanthropic community, because when you talk about funding, you got to have people who understand and look at this and see how they can bring funds alongside of this type of program.
But given the Cities United, you know, is looking at, you know, because I'm not afraid of stealing an idea from Mayor Nutter or Mayor, you know, so-and-so somewhere. And going back to what Pastor Jackson talked about, maybe some of these other cities have figured out how to work with real grassroots groups that don't have the 5 years track record that major foundations want to look at. Maybe their bookkeeping is as bad as IPS's and they want to. But there's a way you can work with the group to make sure that, you know, that there's financial accountability and transparency, and ain't nobody running south with the money. Maybe somebody has figured out how to do that, and Indianapolis can copy after them.
Well, we meet monthly, Amos. Mm-hmm. We have a monthly webinar with the group as a whole, and we just had a conference down in
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. And I think, you know,
and you didn't get to go?
No, because I still had to do work here. Oh, okay. I mean, still work has to be done. But here, the last thing too is, you remember also the president
with my public safety director. Yeah, and that was the other program, my brother's keeper.
But the president is aware of our program and what we were trying to do here too. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing he actually talked to Troy Riggs about, our program here and what we were doing. So we thought that was very positive that when we talk about this stuff on the webinar, the president is involved and he understands what's going on and he likes what we were doing here as well.
We had Valerie Jarrett on the program last week, and she not only was talking about, you know, getting people signed up for the Affordable Care Act, but I had to hit her with, you know, Valerie, the president's got my brother's keeper. You got 10 big foundations with big money involved, $200 million over 5 years. We got a couple little foundations here. You know, how can we leverage our Lilly Endowment, our Central Indiana, to do my brother's keeper, Your Life Matters, Indy, keep our foundation money at home? Because I don't want it to go to New Orleans,
That's what the task force is going to be involved in, is looking and coming up with new ideas and helping us, Amos. But again, it's also a community effort. It's each and every one of our responsibilities.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Is getting your reaction to the announcement today. Efforts in terms of mentoring, in terms of reentry assistance for ex-offenders, in terms of providing, you know, parents, grandparents, all the calls I've had in 10-plus years. I can't handle the kid. I tried to call the police and let the police take him, and the police won't take him. Well, now, you know, the effort is going to be 211, the helpline, be able to refer you to folks that maybe can provide you that help or maybe take that kid off your hand for a hot minute. 239-1310. If you got questions, this is your opportunity to find out about it. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is coming up at the top of the hour, live, Superintendent Dr. Louis Farabee. We're going to ask it. We got to figure out, is this a question on I-STEP? Do this math question. How do you go from $30 million in the red to $8 million in the black? Please pick your answer here. We'll ask him about that because everybody's wondering, what? It's Afternoons with Amos for a Wednesday. All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. Now, my resident email cynic has sent me two cynical emails. I want you all to address that. One is, come on, this is just a Band-Aid over a gaping wound. And then his other one, I'll be watching this closely and I will report back in 3 months, and mark my word, it will be worse. How do you deal with that cynicism, pastors?
Well, I think,
because you know that it's out there.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, first and foremost, not being able, we never build it as a silver bullet to cure everything, and there are many issues, and they are complex. They're not easy, but you know, you have to start somewhere, and you can't give up. Not being able to do everything is not an excuse not to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think, and then I think we have to stay at it. You know, it's interesting. As pastors, we deal with messaging. Mm-hmm. We deal with messages. And, you know, you don't share a message one time and stop. Mm-hmm. You have to continue over and over and over and over again.
You don't talk about Easter 1 year and don't talk about
That's
it
right.
for another 10.
That's right. And in the same way, these positive messages, we know, our youth and people hear negative messages on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. And it's like I told somebody, you know, violence doesn't take a day off. Murder doesn't take a day off. We have to continue to promote these positive messages and to give people that are hopeless hope. Your life matters. We need to say that over and over again. Everyone in the community standing next to one another saying to these people and to one another, your life matters. So the cynics can be cynics and sit in the cynical chair. We're going to continue to do the work.
Jobs. Glenn Howard, God rest his soul, you know, was very passionate about, you know, and summer jobs for kids. That's when he did, you know, the golf thing in the summer with, what is it, Pro 100, and those great efforts. A lot of those job programs, there's people that remember CETA. There's people who remember, you know, fill in the blank. All that federal money been gone. You know, that's been gone 10, 15 years. What's with the job piece? Because that is the business community. The economy is getting a little better. It might be loosening up. You know, what kind of visibility are we seeing on the job piece for young folks and young adults?
Well, something that we're doing now with Clean for Green on the Far East Side, that was launched by the Far East Side Action Coalition in 2012. I'm the president of that coalition. And in 2012, we had about 25 youth a week in the summertime every Friday, mm-hmm. paid them $25. We did that again this past year, and we employed 812 youth last year. We did the summer and the fall, and our goal is to employ 1,000 or more youth right. this summer. I'm not interested in just doing it during the summer. Mm-hmm. If you're unemployed in the summer, you're unemployed year-round. Right. We want to get them employed after school as well. Most of the crime happens between 4 and 8:30 p.m. So we want to deal with that issue. But not just jobs for cleaning up the neighborhoods, but out of that pool, we want to identify youth who could possibly do well in a corporate environment and send those youth to businesses who have made commitments to provide jobs for those youth. In response to the cynics, you know, you're always going to have the cynics around. I'd take a Band-Aid any day just to prevent infection, because once infection sets in, you lose the limb. So thank God for the Band-Aid. Come back in 3 months. If it is worse, that is not unbiblical. I mean, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But I can tell you it will get better.
Let me go to Yvonne at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I was listening to the comment and about the money in the account. Maybe that's a new path to math that they have come up with. But about the boys, I don't know if you've been looking at, you probably haven't, but Steve Harvey has a group for those belligerent and boys who are difficult to deal with. He asked that everybody put in an application for it at www.steveharvey. And I've seen the turnaround where these young men, he structured their life where some of them have been failing in school. They've come from single parents, and they graduate top of the class. Some of them are in college right now going to high-ranking schools. So maybe that could be one of the things that this group can look at and send these boys to be mentified. And it's free of charge. All they have to do is write in to Steve Harvey, and I give you all the details. That's another possibility. I don't know if they know about that, but some very difficult boys, but they have to have a male structure in their life. That's another option that you all can look at.
Just while you were talking, I pulled it up. It's part of the Steve and Marjorie Harvey Foundation that Steve and his lovely wife, Steve Harvey's mentoring program. Now, he does it in several cities. I don't see Indianapolis yet, Greg Wilson. But maybe that's, you know, since, you know, Radio 1, we're doing all these messages about Your Life Matters. And the last time I checked, Steve Harvey's on every afternoon, 4 o'clock on Wish TV Channel 8. Maybe that's Wish TV and Lynn Broadcasting, if y'all listening. Maybe that's their contribution working with Brother Steve Harvey. See, I gave you all an idea. I'll send you the bill. No, but I'm being very serious. This is how you engage other folks in the community, because that is a great program that he has. It says, wait a minute, Detroit? Why isn't he here? Channel 8, I mean, he's you know, anytime you're strong enough, you can go from Channel 23 to Channel 8. That says you're doing something. See, to me, he needs to sign. Somebody getting ready to call the boy, the folk down at Channel 8. That's a great suggestion, Yvonne. Thank you. 239-1310. Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes, good afternoon to you and the guest.
Good afternoon.
I would like to make a comment about what one of the ministers said. He said sometimes it could get worse before it could get better. And basically what I would like to say is that, believe it or not, that I know when Noah, he preached it was going to rain, it didn't get better until after he cleared the whole land out. You know, and had to start over again. Well, as you know as well as I know, that a lot of times we still forget that we're living in the last and end day. In other words, Jesus can come any time because of the fact that that's just what the Bible has been written. And a lot of times the money that we use cannot help the solution, but just like you and I know, that are of the faith, that prayer can do a multitude of things. Mm-hmm. And just like the situation with the lady that ran her kids into the ocean, and the little boy said, my mother was trying to kill us. Well, she said she had demons in her home, and she needed, you know, she was talking about she needed Jesus in her house. Well, you have a lot of people, that families, they just, whether it be a single-parent home or there be a two-parent home, they're not making the right choices spiritually. So, therefore, that being said, it all comes down to what kind of lifestyle you're living spiritually. It doesn't have anything to do with the jobs. It doesn't have anything to do with any kind of manly moral thing, but spiritually, godly, they need to have Jesus Christ, and that will make a multitude of difference. My mother raised me, and we came out of I came out of a single parent home.
Mm-hmm.
She prayed with us, and it was more, and we had it was six of us. Matter of fact.
All right. Yeah. Is this pastor's prayer and faith does play a part in this?
I think from a theological perspective, there are some who say all you have to do is pray and the problem will be worked out. On the other side of theology, there are some who say, hey, you got, you know, you need a job. Well, you have to understand with respect to biblical,
that's the faith without works part.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's dead. What he's saying, prayer can do a lot.
Yes.
You can get miracles out of prayer, but miracles are as the Spirit wills. But if you go back to the beginning, Genesis being the beginning of things, God gave Adam a job. He didn't give him a ministry.
Hmm.
So Adam, if you go back to first mention, he had a job first.
Is it also makes it difficult with this problem and all of these programs that we're trying to bring that the streets tend to spurt? We have gone, a week? Almost a week, and it's been quiet, and it's been that way, Pastor Ellis, and I know you and 10 Point, you all out in the streets. It's just like spurt, and everybody gets, and then all of a sudden, like we're in right now.
Well, and that's what people need to understand. There is a ebb and flow,
mm-hmm.
and it ain't Chicago or
D.C. Yeah. Back in the day where it's like every day.
Yeah, and sometimes we can be captive or prisoner of the moment when we have a lot to happen right next to one another,
mm-hmm.
and go, oh my goodness, and you know, and so those kind of things happen, and certainly, you know, the overall issue, you got to remember that there are people that are hopeless out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are not operating from a faith center.
Mm-hmm.
So to tell them to pray really falls on deaf ears. We they have to have something that they can see, hold, and touch. And we have to get them to that point.
Because you get that pushback when y'all in the streets.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're trying to get them. Sometimes, you know, we get the very practical, says, well, if I put my gun down, what are you going to do for me?
Mm.
Because this is how I make my money.
Right.
Now, we're not going to starve, and this person is not coming from a faith center. So what do you do? So that person's looking for some kind of assistance or a job, and so we have to be practical and meet that need. And when we meet that need, we communicate that we care about you. And then that opens the pathway to talk to them about, you know, that greater care that God cares for you and ongoing that your life does matter.
Back to the phones in Marie. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. Hello, panel.
Yeah, hello.
I just have a comment, the first being that I don't particularly care for our mayor. I won't say I don't care for him. I didn't vote for him. But I liked some of the things that he was saying, you know, he wants to reduce black-on-black crime. However, it's not just black-on-black crime in our community or in the nation. 95% of Caucasian victims, their assailant is Caucasian. And the same goes for Asian and other races. So it's not just black-on-black crime. I just think that because the majority of a lot of African-Americans live in despondent neighborhoods, that's highlighted in the news media. And so people always think black-on-black crime is the leading factor in our communities and in our cities, but it's not. The other comment that I wanted to make, I agree with the caller before me. Prayer is important. You know, we need to pray and we need to fast, but I also think that a lot of this has to do with there isn't faith and spirituality in the home. We have the music that our youth are listening to. I know I sound young. I'm not that much older than most of the children out here, but the music that they're listening to, it doesn't promote anything positive. It talks about murder. It talks about sex before marriage. It talks about selling drugs. It talks about partying and getting drunk and doing drugs, and they put this in their spirits every single day, every single hour, and a lot of these people that are creating this music, they are devil worshippers, or look it up. You know, I've never heard you really discuss any of the spiritual aspects of hip hop, but if you get an opportunity, look up The Truth Behind Hip Hop. It's by Pastor G. Craig Lewis, and he exposes what hip hop is really doing to our communities.
All right, good point. I need to move on because a lot of other people are talking, and I need to get to the superintendent at IPS right at 2:00. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
My thing is, if we could get some of these old-timers that are on the corners and just sitting around doing nothing. If the youth could see that they're not there anymore and they're out doing something, then maybe they'll say, well, hey, if they can do it, I can do it.
Wow. That's an interesting point.
Yeah, because you got a lot of old-timers during the summer. That's all they're doing is sitting around on the corner. They meet at White Castle. Put a uniform on. Go somewhere and get a job and let that young person see you walking down the street, and they'll say, well, shoot, if he can do it, I need to get me a job.
I think Pastor Ellis can speak to that with the old G's, I think.
Yeah, actually, there are some, and so we call them the old G's, and some original, and they have been very, very helpful and instrumental in the streets of going out and talking to the youth and to being that visual object lesson of saying, you can leave that. Listen, I did 10 hard years in prison and you don't want to go there. It seems glamorous and all of this stuff, but it's not. And so, we've had some success in doing that and getting, some of those old timers involved as she suggests.
Hey, Amos, and just going back, one thing she was saying is, I think Reverend Alice said it earlier today. We didn't say that there was another crime in other community. Mm-hmm. What we were talking about is we had, 83 black males die last year to a violent crime, and that is a concerning issue, and it has to be. I think the focus is on this because the community bought this. This is a community-led effort, and the city came alongside the community to support it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is true that these are societal issues, but the analogy that I used is – listen, when there's trouble in society, but it's critical in our communities, because usually those people that live in communities with the least amount of resources and support systems feel it the worst. And we're feeling it the worst.
Let me go to Miss B, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're fine.
I wanted to ask, do they go in, the pastors go into the juvenile centers when the young people are there having problems? And do they go into the schools and on the buses? Because that's where it starts. Most of this problem starts in the schools when they little in the buses, and then they go into the juvenile centers. There's no one there to really to guide them when they get out.
Well, I think the juvenile center, that's just the worst of the worst, you know, because there's not that many, you know, I think there's a perception that there's hordes of people in the juvenile center, and that's not true. And she mentioned the buses and as well as, you know, some other places.
Well, the church is everywhere, Amos.
Yeah.
I mean, bus drivers are the church. It is not limited to pastors. There are bus drivers. There are teachers and all of that. But every child is born tabula rasa, and that's blank slate. And it depends on your environment. We can be in all of these other places, but there's one place that we cannot be, and that's inside the home. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these things, a lot of what's influencing our kids starts out in the home, and that's where we got to hit it at.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll be back with our remaining moments of the first panel. And then at the top of the hour, the superintendent of IPS who will answer the question, what? That's the question. That's it. Everybody's going around and saying, what? You're not in a deficit? And we'll talk to Superintendent Farabee for a bit and get your reactions to all of that. It's Afternoons with Amos. Tomorrow. Oh, when I come up to the break, I'll tell you what we got on tomorrow, because this has something to do with perhaps what we're talking about today. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. And on the program tomorrow, we'll have a group that says that high suspension and expulsion rates are driven in our schools by ineffective school policies and practices, not bad kids. That's in our 2 p.m. hour tomorrow. But that raises the question, you know, is one of the things this effort is going to look at is the role of schools in just throwing kids out. I mean, not talking about a kid that commits a crime. If you hit an assaulted teacher, you cheat, you bring a weapon into school that's against whatever state law they get ready to pass about weapons near schools. If it's something lesser, why are we throwing kids out onto the streets and they get a degree from the University of the Streets instead of a degree from their high school? Is that something that we need to look at and get the schools engaged?
Absolutely. And I can tell you that that has always been a hot topic, even at Indiana Black Expo's Education Conference every year when we look at the cultural competency piece. But that task force should be working alongside the Indiana Civil Rights Commission and really looking at the data that they have, because I'm pretty certain that the Indiana Civil Rights Commission has data on that very topic.
And the 2-1-1 gets ramped up when? I know in the mayor's remarks he talked about something in April, so we're really talking, you can call 211 now, but really the emphasis, and they'll be plugged in, what, early April?
That's what the mayor indicated at the press conference, yes.
Okay, so I just want to know, so when I decide to do the show from 211, oh, that'll freak them out. Hey, why not? You know, that'll demonstrate that. Let me go to Lamont. We'll be our last caller with the folks from the Your Life Matters effort to try to reduce the level of violence in our community. Hi, Lamont.
Hey, Amos, I want to know when are we going to get together and find one of our really intelligent people that can write a bill to teach these kids African-American history so they can know who they are, first of all, and know their heritage and know how great they are, first of all. If you don't know who you are, how are you going to find out where you need to go and where your place in life is?
That's a good point. Is that a part of something this initiative ought to look at, or do we need to go beat up on the State Board of Education to make sure that African-American history and culture is part of the social studies and all these other Common Core standards or whatever they're getting ready to do?
I would say you need to do both. Look at the school system and what's being taught there to make sure from a cultural competency standpoint it's incorporated in the curriculum. But also looking at partnering with the court systems, the probation office, and other folks out there to make sure that, you know, I think there can be interventions in order for our children to actually go to a class. I can see, you know, not to put CLD out there, but this being a program that could be offered, and not just at the intervention stage, but even at the prevention stage as well.
All right. So this thing starts to kick in with 211 next month. And the reentry assistance, they can call the reentry office through the Department of Public Safety.
That's right.
That's all. That's been there.
That's there.
That's there. The folks were in here earlier, late last week, talking about the effort with the parole officers at our police stations.
Yes.
That's in place. What else is in place? That's ready to go like now.
Well, we're running our PSAs.
Right.
We're doing our job training outreach.
Okay.
You can go to the city's website, and it should be the Workforce One website.
Employee
and I think you had them. Yeah, you had them on the show the other day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. With the what is it? Power Train.
Power Train.
I thought it was a new TV show.
I think that's a new initiative. And I also say that if I can just encourage businesses out there to hire those in the community and to support these type efforts, and then encourage those in the communities. I know that there is no silver bullet, but we're going to work to do what we can to make a difference. I ask each and every one listening to help us to make a difference.
Now, Brother Greg Wilson, since I didn't know you were going to be here, and I appreciate that you're here, I got to ask you, because your name was brought up in the Indianapolis Business Journal this past week. Can you confirm that Keystone Construction is a minority-owned business certified that way by the city of Indianapolis?
I can't. I mean, I don't know. I didn't read the article on IBJ, so I would have to look. I mean, I don't know who all is certified and who's not.
Well, they were talking about that, and they said they tried to get a hold of you, and they couldn't find you. You're probably too busy putting this together.
Well, I don't know who's trying to get a hold of me, but again, is all they have to do, I mean, our vendors are on the website,
mm-hmm.
So all people have to do is go and look and see who is certified or not.
If somebody, is it city policy that if an individual is from a country on the continent of Asia that's not defined as Asian by the federal government, that the city would classify them as Asian?
Hi, Amos. I don't even know what you're talking. I mean, I don't know the background of the case, so I would have to look at each individual case and say what it is we're talking about, because I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the key. Moment. No, Mr. What is it? Ozemir Ursel? What's his name? Ozemir? I think that's the case IBJ is referring to.
I know the company, but I don't know. I haven't looked at his certification, so I don't want to misstate anything.
All right. I just, you know,
yeah, and
why,
that's okay. That's
why
fair.
Are you here? Just
we certify so many companies, but right now my focus is on Your Life Matters. That's what we're here today to talk about, the support. And say Your Life Matters.
All right. Yeah, like I said, didn't know you were coming.
Oh, that's okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you guys, Pastor Charles Ellis, Tanya Bell, Pastor James Jackson, Greg Wilson. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.